Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9 to 5 for a 5 to 9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
Batting six, second baseman number 2, Nico Hoerner.
Hello, I got places to be.
Nico Hoerner, that's so fun.
We drove to the park together. We were listening to Nico. Oh, man, it's funny.
Nico Hoerner, how are you, man? Keep rocking it, mate.
He's got good hair. He's jacked, too.
Yeah.
I'm jealous.
It's called court awareness.
That's right.
Nico's got it.
Cubs wins and dates with Bruce. It's a great thing.
Double dates. Wow.
All right, guys. Nico Hoerner.
Starting second baseman for your Chicago Cubs.
The ejection of Nico was completely unwarranted. And, there's nothing that was said that warrants an ejection. I mean, you can't eject players and affect outcomes of games for no offense.
Call strike 3. Hoerner does not like the call, and Nico's just been thrown out of the game. Craig Counsell racing out of the Cubs dugout.
That's terrible.
Yeah, Craig is going to get his money's worth here. I mean, they had beef with Doug Eddings yesterday with his strike zone, and that's one thing to go back and forth over the call.
Derek Thomas threw Nico out of the game. Nico, all he did is turn around and said something to him. Nothing outrageous at all, and instantly out of the game.
Yeah, he didn't like what Nico said, but Nico's walking by. What he said is not, it's not ejectable. And you don't just eject players and change lineups and things like that.
I mean, I don't think it's really that often you can verbatim say to the press afterwards, like, what got you thrown out? So I said, you're having a really bad day.
That's all for Nico Hoerner. He's out of the game.
Bad day. Bad day.
Nico Hoerner on 670 to score.
How fun is that?
So good. What an open by Chris Tannehill. In for Spiegel and Holmes. That is Matt Spiegel and Lawrence Holmes. It is me, Mark Grody, and him, Dan Wiederer. We collectively co-host regularly the Take the North podcast, all about your Chicago Bears and the National Football League. But it is certainly, without a doubt, Nico time. Nico Hoerner joining us on the score. And I don't know, Nico, are you calm? Are we going to get through this interview? Are you going to be civil towards us here? Are you okay?
Yeah, as long as you guys are good with me, I'm chilling.
What in the world was going on yesterday? Take us through that at-bat, which, by the way, was a big deal moment in the game, but please, for the sake of the audience and for us, because it's kind of entertaining, take us through the scenario and the at-bat and what happened.
Yeah, I mean, like you said, that's every time you strike out or get out in general, it always stings. But when you're really in moments of games that are turning points, runner on second, no outs, down two, instead of being in a 3-2 count, you're out. And, moments like that really change games and change series. And not why we lost that game, but in that moment, it felt pretty significant. And like most ejections, some stuff going leading up to it, just like, tough 0-0 call on my first at bat and a couple others throughout the game. But it's just, I wouldn't say it reached a boiling point, because that kind of refers to some level of anger that I never got to. But
That's the hilarious part about it is the you in the post game afterwards, like even at that point, it's not like you were you know, spitting fire out there, and you sort of collected yourself, looked at the media, and as Chris Tannehill played in the Open, you just said that you told the umpire they had a really bad day, and it kind of looked like it stunned the collective media because it took them about 7 or 8 seconds to ask a follow-up question to all of that. What about that moment, and do you understand why you were ejected? Do you think you should have been ejected? Because I know you didn't yell at the guy, but you did tell the umpire he was having a really bad day.
Yeah, I think it's a lot of times it's more about, like, body language and stuff. So, I did, like, look him in the face. It wasn't, like, walking by, and, you know, you can kind of say whatever you want out of the corner of your mouth at a certain point. But, I'm not proud of it. I'm not going out there trying to get ejected. Obviously want to stay in that ball game and win a series. But it happened. I appreciate Counts having my back though. That's always feels good. And, he was pretty passionate about wanting to still have me in the game and win that series, but yeah, life goes on.
Nico Grody and I were talking about before the show, after witnessing such an explosive tantrum, when's the last time in your life you've been that mad?
Probably the time before the first at bat I got out, honestly. That probably was more upsetting. So, yeah.
What in that situation, what's your expectation for what civil back and forth with an umpire would be? And what is your expectation of how he should have handled that?
In general, like, it's rare that you argue with an umpire, or at least I argue with an umpire, and I really feel good about it. It's usually, like, doesn't really accomplish much, you know? Like, I'm not proud of doing that, but usually just some sort of warning or
right.
Like, hey, without saying it, like, hey, are you trying to get tossed right now? I'm not sure if that's necessarily what they're supposed to do, but obviously they're humans too and are having different days and have different thresholds for those things. So obviously cross it with them.
I'm thinking about kind of the irony, because you mentioned appreciating that Craig Counsell had your back, which he certainly did. But the irony of it is you two are probably the only two in the team photo for calmest guys on the team, the two men that you would least expect to get into any sort of heated verbal battle. But Craig Counsell comes out there. A two-parter on this. You were pretty – I gave you credit. Like, I wrote it down as I was watching. Like, you backed off pretty quick. You got your words in, obviously. But once Counsell came out, you did a good job of kind of getting out of the picture and allowing Craig Counsell to do his job, Nico, which essentially was to get kicked out of the game.
Yeah. Counts, I feel like he handled it well. It's appropriate. Got his money's worth. You'd like to see an immediate rally from the guys. And, wow, Counts really got the guys fired up to go win that series. Didn't quite line up, but I'm sure the whole team appreciated that.
Oh, man.
That effort. And, we got a nice lift in together, though, in, like, the sixth and seventh inning. So that was what excitement for the second half of the game for us.
Oh, you and Counsell did?
Yeah.
Oh, that's hilarious. Are you guys talking during it? Are you both just like, because you guys both obviously saw it. It was a ball. Like, if we are looking at the pitch
that
track,
is the thing that, like, as a player, when you go back, like, even when you're like 99% sure, like, it does feel good when you see that it's a ball.
Okay, so in a case like that, like, obviously Derek Thomas, the umpire, might have known in 10 minutes from that point, too, that it was a ball. Is there any discussion with him, or have you ever had an umpire circle back and be like, yeah, I was having a bad day, man?
I definitely had some kind of acknowledgement of just like, man, I missed that one. You know, it's not an apology, because obviously they're doing their best, but acknowledgement, I think, is good, but it goes both ways too. I think, you know, players argue, myself included, in situations that we're wrong too. So, just these are people you're going to see over and over and over again. So, you know, just trying to be somewhat civil over it, and I think acknowledging when you're wrong is pretty important in those spots.
Do you recall what you said a year ago when you got tossed from the game against the White Sox?
I did
swear in that one. Nothing crazy. I think similarly, it was more like that I was like face to face with him a little bit.
Yeah.
Something along the lines of like, what are we doing? Like, what are you doing? Yeah. Something like that. It was also pretty quick, but that one was probably more deserving. That one, we came back and walked off. Mike Talk went off. White Sox. That was a great game.
Talkie walk off. Yeah.
Yeah.
Was that? Did he go oppo on that?
Yeah. Like kind of center, left center, off cup pick. It was an impressive swing.
Yeah, that's what he did. That was the Talkman way.
Nico, it seemed like a fun series aside from the final result in Detroit. The game on Friday seemed to have some electricity to it. Obviously, the homer binge on Saturday. What can you guys take out of a really competitive series against a really good baseball team at this time of year?
Yeah, I mean, we've played in some really great atmospheres this year already. Obviously, our April was super loaded, and then, facing Scooble on Friday night and a beautiful day there and packed house. I really like that stadium too. Just had a good vibe to it and everything. So, just the more big atmospheres and exciting games and good teams we play, I feel like the better for the group, good or bad. We give ourselves some chances for crooked innings that didn't line up. I think in both games that we lost, honestly, and obviously a lot of things that we could have done better, but it was a good weekend and just good for baseball too. Like you want to go places and see fans excited about their team and their product on the field and it's fun.
You want to see more than the usual suspects filling up. You know what Wrigley Field does, and I know that we're all sort of spoiled by that, but it is cool to start to see the regrowth, the refresh, I should say, of the Detroit franchise, of the Tigers, and the Lions in football as well. It's always cool to see that stuff. But yeah, the Saturday game, a festival of home runs, Seiya with a couple, Shaw, PCA, Bush. And I got to tell you, Nico, look, you're having a terrific year. But it's like every time you come up like in a spot where it's a tie game or a close game, it's starting to, Nico hasn't hit that first home run yet this year. It's coming, isn't it?
I mean, most of the underlying stuff is pretty similar to past years when I've hit not a ton of homers, but put them out there sometimes. So, yeah, it's definitely not something that's going to help the team at all. Making that my priority going into a day, but just continue to have good at bats and square the ball up, and definitely put some out here soon.
Another fun series on tap here tonight. You guys will get a look at Zach Wheeler against Boyd tonight. What have you come to appreciate about Matthew Boyd through the first 2+ months of this season?
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
He's a starting pitcher that's really invested in the team. And that might sound obvious, but, like, pitchers are so much on their own routine that I just appreciate how much he's, like, around and having conversations and present on days that he's not on the field. Like, I think that's a pretty cool attribute from the teammate. He had a same elbow surgery that I did. So when I was going through like my throwing progression and stuff in spring training, he was just, always asking cool questions and kind of giving his thoughts here and there when I asked him stuff. And obviously someone who's come back very effectively from it. So really smart guy, knows himself very, very well and pitches with a ton of purpose. And I love watching him throw.
Nico Horner on the score is sponsored by Huntington, home of asterisk-free checking. Learn more at huntington.com/yourmoney. That is the voice of Cubs starting second baseman Nico Hoerner on the score. It is the Spiegel and Holmes show. Mark Grody and Dan Wiederer in here today. I know I'm kind of like going back and forth here, Nico. I meant to ask this while we were on the on the umpire thing, but I thought one of the more hilarious moments came on Saturday in this series with Doug Eddings behind the plate, and I'll say it, you don't have to. He was having a bad day as well, and he's had his fair share of bad days here and there, as you will hear some people and former players commenting on social media. But there was a point where you guys were all kind of getting on him, like a dugout will do, getting on old Doug Eddings because you guys weren't happy with the balls and strikes calls. And then he shouted back at you guys saying, okay, okay, I'll get better. I'll get better. Was that a funny moment to you? Did you even notice him saying that, Nico?
No, I didn't notice that in real time. I know what pitch you're talking about, I think very early in the game, but I knew there was some back and forth. I mean, I do appreciate umpires like acknowledging, like we talked about earlier, but it's a fine line of, like, you know, you don't want to be a team that complains a bunch, and that's a tired act for sure, but when you know, you have players that aren't getting calls that really are getting calls that really impact their bats, it's a big deal. And like, you know, Saya in particular, I'm not sure if this year it's been the case, but he's had like a really strange amount of bad calls against him over the last couple of years. And he's not, you know, someone who's going to scream and yell at an umpire, but I feel a little more fiery when it happens to him, just because it feels like it happens a lot.
That's interesting, man, because I've noticed that too, and I remember, and I don't expect you to have, you know, remembered this, or maybe you do, but like his rookie year was like that, like where Seiya Suzuki was, we were all complimenting him, Nico, like on how disciplined he was taking pitches, and it got to the point where he wasn't getting those calls for the umps to where he had to start swinging at those pitches, and so it affects your whole mentality, right?
It does, yeah, and I think a lot of times, you know, ball and strike calls are really, you know, the ones that finish at bat, strikeouts are a huge deal, but the or early at bat ones are a really big deal. It's such a battle with the pitcher of, you know, winning accounts and, you know, the stats after those, a 1-0 versus an 0-1 count, and all that stuff is very extreme. And it can start messing with your own, like, idea of where home plate is, too, because in the moment you're like, I mean, I'm pretty sure that's a ball, but, like, also could be a strike. starts getting a little big on you at times, especially if you aren't seeing the ball very well. So, we'll see where the ABS system goes. You know, I'm not yelling like we need robot umpires. I really don't want that. I don't want the catching position to become, you know, skillless and take away from framing. I think framing's a really impressive and challenging skill the catchers work really hard on, but you know, maybe the challenge system gets to a place where it's effective and, you know, you can take out the really bad ones. And the cool thing about that is then you get to a point where instead of players complaining, you actually put your money where your mouth is, right? And like, you got to challenge it. And so, I think it'd be interesting.
That's interesting. You don't want the robot umpire. Do you feel like that's the way it is with your fellow baseball players, or is that opinion prevailing throughout the league? Yeah.
I think so. I think, you know, we've seen examples of how the robot strike zone would work, and it's definitely still flawed. I feel like the game is in a pretty good place right now where with pitching and offense, like it doesn't really feel like it's dominated by one or the other this year, and start messing with the strike zone a lot. And you start really skewing the game itself. But yeah, just visually, like, I don't want to get to a point where catchers just set up down the middle of the plate and pitchers just throw it wherever, and if it crosses the box, it crosses the box. Like, that'd be pretty ugly, I think.
Yeah, and it would be, believe it or not, cheating the pitchers too. And you guys have seen some doozies lately, and we'll see another one with Gore and Scuba. We haven't even talked about him, and you'll be seeing Wheeler as well, facing three of the top five strikeout leaders in MLB. How do you think you've done against these pitchers this year, the top guys? Because we're thinking about the playoffs for you guys, Nico, and these are the types of guys you got to be able to hit.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, you think about facing you know, 5-game series, a top guy twice, or maybe even 3 times in a 7-game series, and you absolutely have to beat the best guys. And I thought we did a pretty impressive job of that. In April, we went through a pretty long stretch of facing the best righties in the NL West, and I thought we handled that really well. Obviously, Gore and Scooble had strong starts against us. I thought we had better at bats against Scooble than Gore. But yeah, just another way of kind of measuring where you're at as a group and ways that you can improve. And, you know, the ability to score runs without hitting a bunch of homers is something that I think we've done a good job of this year. This past series wasn't, was kind of extreme in the other direction, but all the more important to be able to run the bases and hit situationally. And those runs are hard to come by.
Nico, you guys will reconnect with Kyle Schwarber in Philly this week. I know your time with him in the early going of your time here was a little limited, but what were your impressions up close of being around Kyle? And I guess from afar, what do you admire about his approach to hitting?
He's a guy that he brought a lot of fun to baseball. I feel like the fans had a pretty good sense of that just in his day-to-day interactions and the way that he spent his time in Chicago. And, you know, obviously he's a legend forever for his heroics in the World Series. But yeah, just a fun loving guy who, you know, he knows his skill set well, but he's also, putting together a year right now that's kind of showing the all around hitter that he is and really just having an amazing career. I think when it's all said and done, we're going to look back on it. He's really one of the great power hitters of our generation. Always root for him from afar.
Hey, what's going on with Rizzo? You know, he's kind of retired. Do you see Rizzo like dramatically signing with the Cubs when you guys are in the playoffs in October? Is that the buzz in the clubhouse right now? Is that what's going on?
Yeah, I haven't heard that buzz. You know, maybe okay. He's got a trick up his sleeve. That would be quite the move.
Yeah,
that would be good for Cub fan morale. But no, I don't know where he's at with that. I know he was one of the guys when I was called up that was. Just, you know, he's really great to me and just in including me in social things or just little things that he learned, obviously, over his long career and was just super generous with his time. And just made a big difference. I mean, that effort goes a long way for young players. So super lucky I got to overlap with him.
What about seeing Baez? And we're doing the nostalgia thing here right now. It's all pouring out now. But seeing Baez and leaping up high to make a Baez-esque catch, it warms my heart to see him playing well. I don't know about you, Nico.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, the sliding play he made up the middle against Tucker on Friday was throwing from short without ever getting up from the ground and doing it all in one motion. I mean, nobody does those things like him. And even if you make the play, you don't make it look as cool as he does, that's for sure. So, he's an all-timer. Another guy that, you know, really easy to root for from afar. And I know he's been a big part of their winning this year. And cool to see him doing it in a variety of ways, playing center field too, playing short. He's had the walk-off homer he had recently. And seems like he's playing with a lot of joy right now. That's really cool to see.
That's so perfect the way you put it. I mean, there's a lot of guys that may have been as good at defense or better than Javier Baez at defense even, but he just looks cooler doing it. That is so well said. What's the coolest way the coolest thing you do on a field? Like the thing that you look back and be like, oh, I pulled that off? That was sick. How did I do that?
It's super satisfying as a base runner when you get a jump that's good enough that they don't get a throw off or like you can kind of go into second base standing. Like that's a really good feeling. And there's a lot of, I think it feels so good because there's a lot of prep and stuff behind the scenes before a game for something like that. So when the moment syncs up and you just nail it, it feels really great.
I love that.
Nico, I got one more very self-centered question to ask you. I am a very hyper-passionate youth baseball coach and we're taking our 12U team to Cooperstown at the end of the month. I'm curious what your best memories from back in, I guess it would have been 2009 when you were 12 were, and what kind of advice you would give to kids of this age about just playing baseball at this level.
Yeah. I mean, we did the Cooperstown tournament. That was a blast. Playing at that level. I think not getting like married to a position is pretty important as a player at that age. Just, you know, everyone wants to play short or center field or whatever it is, but being comfortable in all places on the field. And I know it's getting harder and harder, but just playing multiple sports, I really believe in. I always played soccer in the fall and winter and then baseball spring and summer. And it's really hard to focus on one thing for that long. And I think there's a lot to learn just about being in different sports and being around different people. So, being able to care a lot, but not getting to the point where it's like your profession at that age, I think is pretty important.
What were your best memories of that Cooperstown week?
Well, we won. That was cool.
Oh, cool. That's not happening for us.
Yeah, that was fun. But just the excitement around the baseball, the variety of talent there was pretty funny. Like, you had like local little league teams, and then you also had like some of the best teams in the country. So there were some pretty lopsided scores. But yeah, just getting to play that much baseball in a week was amazing. We played a game that started at 1 a.m. because of a bunch of rain delays.
Wow. Oh, that's hilarious.
Under the lights at 1 a.m.
Wait, how old were you when you played that game?
12.
That's
a 12-year tournament.
What a blast.
Like, yeah, so there was a lot of special stuff. And the fences were pretty short, so that was fun too.
Yeah, it's like the novelty of stuff like, that's 1 a.m. We're playing baseball. We're 12.
Yeah.
It's like a sleepover
exactly.
party. Like, you'll never forget.
100%.
That's so beautiful. I just looked it up, by the way, Nico. You are going to hit a homer tonight. Congratulations.
Oh, nice.
On that. Yeah.
That's good to know.
Yeah, this is big for you. Congratulations at Philadelphia. Look, that's a place where you could hit home runs. So congratulations to you. And
done it before. It's possible.
Oh, you've hit one out there at Citizens Bank?
I think two or three, yeah. Oh, I think three.
Oh,
yeah.
Okay. All right, we're on it. And this, if you hit a home run, this, what's happening right now on the radio, will sound so good tomorrow. So make it happen, will you? And calm down, will you? Relax.
Yeah, I got you. Relax and home runs.
Relax, home run, Bears. That's it. That's all. That's all we ask out of you, okay?
Sounds good to me. I can do that.
All right, Nico, take care.
Thanks, Nico.
All right, guys, have a good one.
You too.
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9-to-5 for a 5-to-9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Dollar Shave Club is the real grooming MVP. Their 6-blade razor gives you the closest, most comfortable shave. The 4-blade features Swift Rinse Tech for longer, thicker hair. And the handle has a no-slip 360-degree diamond pattern grip for comfort and control. Shave butter works great with their razors. It's translucent for precision and delivers a long-lasting glide that hydrates the skin. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun and use code HOMERUN for 20% off your order of $20 or more. Plus free shipping. Whatever you shave, welcome to the club.
Baseball's all about the games, and the best in daily gaming is on the MLB app, where every day starts with new puzzles and challenges. Test your skills with MLB Pickle, the ultimate mystery player challenge, and Immaculate Grid, where stats and strategy collide, or chase the $5.6 million jackpot and beat the streak, presented by BetMGM. And for an all-new spin on fantasy sports, there's Spinball. The game's official home for games is on the MLB app. MLB trademarks used with permission. No purchase necessary. Restrictions apply. For official rules, go to MLB.com/play/official rules.